वासुदेवेन्द्रयोगीन्द्रम् नत्वा ज्ञानप्रदम् गुरुम् मुमुक्षूणाम् हितार्थाय तत्त्वबोधोऽभिधीयते.
We asked the question last class, Jivan Muktaha Kaha. Who is a Jivan Muktaha? So, Yatha, Dehoham, Purushoham, Brahmanoham, Shudroham, Asmi Iti, Dridhanischayaha, Tatha, Na Aham Brahmanaha, Na Shudraha, Na Purushaha, Kintu, असङ्गः सच्चिदानन्दस्वरूपः प्रकाशरूपः सर्वान्तर्यामी चिदाकाशरूपः अस्मि इति दृढनिश्चयरूप अपरोक्षज्ञानवान् जीवन्मुक्तः. ब्रह्मैवाहमस्मि इति अपरोक्षज्ञानेन निखिल कर्म बंध विनिर्मुक्तः स्यात्. सो वी आर सीइंग दिस क्वेश्चन, हू इज अ जीवन मुक्तः? हू इज द पर्सन हू इज फ्री व्हाइल लिविंग? लिविंग इन दिस वर्ल्ड इटसेल्फ, पर्सन फ्री, लिबरेटेड. मुक्तः, यू ऑल्सो रिमेंबर द वर्ड मुक्तः. You know this mochate, mochayati. There, the mokshaha is noun. Mukta is participle. Mokshaha, freedom, liberation, mokshaha. Muktihi, also liberation, freedom, noun. Feminine noun is muktihi, masculine noun is mokshaha, and vimochanam is a neuter noun. Mochanam or vimochanam, neuter noun. Muktihi, feminine noun. Mokshaha, masculine noun. Mochanam, muktihi, mokshaha. All three words mean the same noun, freedom, liberation. But mukta is a participle, liberated. Mukta, liberated participle. And if we add visarga, you can make it adjective also. Muktaha, liberated person. Mukta, liberated. In Sanskritam, you have this facility. In fact, participle can become an adjective. Mukta, liberated participle. When you add visarga, muktaha, liberated person. So, jivan muktaha, the person who is liberated. When jivan, living, he is free. Not after death, not before. Even living this life, he is free. So the question is, who is jivan muktaha? So without any effort, we easily have this notion. I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, I am a man, I am a European, I am a Hindu, I am an Indian, I'm a Christian, I'm an American, I'm English, I'm a man, I'm a woman. We have all these notions effortlessly. How? And then these very strong notions we have. The same, similarly, suppose if we understand the essential nature, if we see this physical, we understand the physical body being an object of knowledge. And not only the body, even the sense powers are objects of knowledge. We saw last class. The powers of organs of actions are objects of knowledge. We don't need to know afterwards. The very class right now, you must be convinced of the fact. Yes, this body is an object of knowledge. I am the knower of the body, that I am different from the body. I am distinct from the body. But you must remember, the body is not different from me. The body is not distant from me. I am not distant from the body, but definitely I am distinct from the body. The two words are very important words. I am distinct, knower of the body. but I am not distant from the body. The body is non-different from me. You must remember that. Then, so not only the physical body, even the subtle aspects which indwell the physical body, all of them are definitely objects of knowledge. You are each and every sense power, because of which you are able to perceive the external sense of external objects. The sound is possible because of the hearing power. The any form, color, light is possible because of the seeing power. The fragrance and stink, any smell is possible, knowledge of any smell is possible because of the smelling power. All these subtle powers are also known to you. The imperceptible subtle, you cannot draw and paint or understand, very subtle. Even the powers are very, very subtle, but still they are objects of knowledge. Which means, the knower, imagine the powers are subtle. What about the knower of powers? Must be subtler than the powers. Okay? Not only the powers of organs of knowledge, even the powers of, even the powers of, even the powers, the sense powers of organs of action. They're all objects of knowledge. What about the physiological functions because of which the life is determined? Life of a human being, life of any living being is determined by the physiological functions. Even those functions are objects of knowledge. And we saw last class, and not only these 15 aspects, we also have Antahkaranam, and which itself is understood with the 4 different names in keeping with different functions. We understand mind. Antahkaranam, even though as a whole is known by one word, mind, the same mind is known as mind, intellect, memory and ego. We saw that last class. So all the varieties of the varied thought modifications which rise and resolve, all these thoughts are also objects of knowledge. When all the thoughts are resolved, and we call it a deep sleep state, when the knowledge, not even knowledge of the existence of the self, or the knowledge of the existence of the world, when the ignorance is total, the total ignorance is object of knowledge. Whenever there's a experience of total ignorance, there's also experience of the absence of pairs of opposites. Which means in deep sleep state also, there is object of experience. And what is an object of experience experienced in deep sleep state? Then there's no gross universe. There's no subtle universe. There are not even sense powers. Not even, you're not aware of physiological function, but still they're happening. When then all that is experienced in deep sleep state is total ignorance, and experience of the absence of pairs of opposites, they form the objects in deep sleep state. And the knower of those, knower of the ignorance is, if you see, you can't deny the existence of the knower obtaining in deep sleep state. When nothing is there means what? Nothing is there means there's no external world or dream world. But still there's something is there. What is that? Total ignorance is. Why do you say nothing is there? Because total ignorance is inexplicably subtle. Therefore we say there's no form. There's no specific form. There's no specific motion. There's no specific movement. Therefore we say nothing is. Really speaking, never a time we can say nothing is. There's something always. There's always something. When nothing is there also, there's something. That is total ignorance. And that knower of total ignorance is distinct from the total ignorance. And that total ignorance is non-different from the knower of the ignorance. But who is that knower? definitely there's a knower. You cannot talk about the form of the knower. You cannot talk about the shape of the knower. You can only say there's knower. In fact, that knower is the truth. In fact, you are that knower and you are the truth, the formless reality. That is how you arrive at this, stumble upon the truth. Repeatedly, you have to think about it. And that truth, why does it know? We saw knowing is its swarupam. Therefore, from the standpoint of the truth, you cannot even say truth is the knower. But you get to say there's no knower other than the truth. Knower is the truth. It is the truth which is implied by the term Atma or Brahma. And when you analyze these three states of experience repeatedly, analyze this Drishyaveka repeatedly, definitely you understand that you are the knower, and knower is abstract reality, and you are the knower, abstract reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, implied by the term Atma. And the same reality is also implied by another term, Brahma, with reference to this universe. We'll see it again, but now. So, after knowledge, definitely, how in a, as an ignorant person, how strong notion you have, I am a body, I'm a man, I'm a woman, etc. After knowledge, you have the firm understanding, I, the knower, am consciousness, Atma. Or the knowledge is there. Then, and what is it? Satchidananda Swarupaha. We saw all this last class, didn't we? We saw that. Saham Atma. I'll repeat again anyway. Now we'll read the next line today. 74th line. Then, such a person is Jivan Muktaha. So, Brahmaivahamasmi. Brahmaivahamasmi. Yiti. Brahmaivahamasmiti. I'm going to break it. Brahma eva aham. First Brahma eva Brahma eva. I'm breaking one by one. Brahma eva Brahma eva. If you break that word first, Brahma plus eva Brahma eva. Brahma eva aham Brahma evaham. Brahma plus eva plus aham. Brahma eva aham. How do you understand? Brahma evaham. So Brahma aham. Eva aham. Why that eva? Eva is an indicable expression which emphasizes, the emphatic expression. Eva. See, Brahma aham means what? Brahman I am. I, the self, am Brahma. I, the self, am Brahma. Doubtlessly. 100% I'm very clear. I am Brahma. No doubt. Eva emphasizes doubtlessness. Eva emphasizes clarity. Okay. Eva emphasizes clarity and doubtlessness. Brahma eva aham. I myself am Brahma. Which means tarangaha jalam eva. Wave is water. It simply says wave is water. But wave is water when you say that, the way you say emphasizes the fact wave is nothing but water. It means wave and water are not two different things. Wave is water. But water is not the wave. Similarly, the truth implied by the term Brahman is not I, but I, the knower, am the truth. I, the knower, am the truth, which is distinct from the known physical body, known sense powers, known powers of organs of actions, known physiological functions, known states of mind, known thought modifications, known total ignorance, known absence of experience. So I didn't know where I am distinct. And so formless, abstract reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is implied by the term Brahma. So I, the self, am the absolute, abstract, subtlest reality implied by the term Brahma. So the eva emphasis, no doubt, Brahma eva aham, Brahma eva aham. Okay, now I wanted to understand why this reality is implied by the term Brahma. So I did sat, aham, aham satyam, satyam eva aham, sadeva aham, chideva aham. You can say that chideva aham is correct. I, the knower, am consciousness. I, the self, am consciousness. I, the self, am awareness. You can simply say that. Why the word Brahma is used here? Because one word tells you the most important feature, the nature. The word Brahma implies limitlessness being the nature of the reality. This abstract, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which you arrive at as the Swarupam, the truth of the knower, I, is implied by the term Brahma because of its nature of limitlessness. I told you many times, we'll be learning in all Upanishads also later on. Brahma itself means what? That which is big, that which is great is Brahma. I told you the root is Brahmh. Brahmati, gross. So Brahma, Brihattamatvat Brahma. Brihat means big, Brihattaram bigger, Brihattamam biggest. Brihat, Brihattaram, Brihattamam. Compared to degree, superlative degree also we have. Brihat, big, Brihattaram bigger, Brihattamam biggest. Big, bigger, biggest. So Brihattamatvat Brahma ityuchyate. The abstract reality, you arrive at it as the truth of the knower I, the truth of the I, in terms of its nature of knowing. I'm repeating the sentence. You can never arrive at the reality other than knowledge. You always arrive at the reality first only in terms of its nature of knowing as the truth of the knower. Then it is this reality, abstract reality, is the biggest due to its nature of being big, due to its bigness, due to the nature of bigness, due to its bigness is implied by the term Brahma, which means there's nothing which is bigger than the reality. There's nothing that when nothing which is as big as reality. Therefore, there's something which is bigger than the reality also. Reality is the biggest. So biggest again, how big it is? How biggest? How can I say biggest? So understand, it is free from all limitations. Therefore, it is the biggest. Is free from all limitations, all possible limitations, therefore it is the biggest. What are the limitations? Which you already know. You understood many times. You've heard it from me. So because it has no, this reality which you arrive at in terms of its nature of knowing as the truth of I, please see the fact. You have to see right now in the class, not after the class. It has no beginning. This abstract reality has no beginning. It is of the nature of beginninglessness. There's no beginning, anadihi. Therefore, it has no end also. Doesn't come to end. There's never a time it disappears. Always it is there, knowing. Always reality is there, knowing. Illumining. Because it's because nature of knowing. Endless. Beginningless, endless. Does it undergo any change? No. Does it undergo any change? So beginninglessly it is there. Endlessly it is there. Changelessly it is there means it has no cause. It has no cause. If it has a beginning, it must have been an effect. To be an effect, it must have a cause. There's no beginning. It has no cause. It is not an effect also. It has no cause, therefore it is not an effect. It is neither the cause nor the effect. Why it is not the cause? Because it has no, doesn't undergo any change. Therefore, it cannot be a cause. It doesn't have a cause. Therefore, it is not an effect. Why it has no cause? Because it has no beginning. Is it clear? See, right now it must become very clear. Reality has no beginning. Therefore, it has no cause. It is not an effect also because it undergo any change. Beginningless, endless, changeless. Therefore what? It has no time limitation. It means even the factor, the phenomenon called a time comes and goes. Time has a beginning. The time factor has beginning. Time factor has an end. The time comes and goes. Don't wait for some other class. In this class right now you must see this fact. Because there's no time. We are getting old. Right now, you should, every class, you must see this fact. I feel nowadays, you must see right now in the class. I don't want to waste time. I want you to understand. You must see this. You know, no beginning, no end. Never what? Time comes and goes. Time is a phenomenon. Abstract phenomenon which comes and goes, and time reality is always there. Therefore, it is of the nature of timelessness. Okay, time is limitless. What about space? Even space, you know, inexplicably vast space is object of knowledge, and space also comes and goes. There's a time, space exists and space disappears. Therefore, reality, being the knower of space, reality, the space doesn't exist outside of the knower reality. I told you already, it is spatially limitless. And all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space, now come and go in time. Therefore, there's no, everything is object of knowledge. Being an object of knowledge is enough. Other than this reality, everything else is an object of knowledge. An object of knowledge doesn't exist outside of the knower reality. Therefore, this reality is free from time limitation, spatial limitation, and object limitation. Shankaracharya writes a huge bhashyam on this in Taittiriya Upanishad. Kalataha aparichinnam vastu, deshataha aparichinnam vastu, vastutaha aparichinnam. Aparichinnam means not limited by time, space and object. Therefore, it is of the nature of limitlessness. Why is it free from time limitation? Why is it free from spatial limitation? Why is it free from object limitation? Because being free, its nature. Being free from limitations, being limitless is the nature of this abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing. This chit, jnanam, this reality implied by the term jnanam or chit is of the nature of limitlessness. Anantam, we already have seen this. Because it is of the nature of limitlessness, it is implied by the term anantam, it is also implied by another term Brahma. And it is all pervasiveness, therefore it accommodates even all accommodative space, therefore it is implied by the term, another term Atma. Therefore the same reality is the reality of everything. Therefore, it's implied by the term Brahma. So, that Brahma, what is that? Sat. It is this reality which alone is in the form of existence of time. See, time exists in reality. Just as wave exists in water, furniture exists in wood, ornament exists in gold, time exists in consciousness, space exists in consciousness, all elements exist in consciousness, all elementals exist in consciousness, living beings exist in consciousness, non-living things exist in consciousness, actions, functions enjoy their existence in consciousness. The results of actions exist in consciousness. The laws which determine the results of actions exist in consciousness. Experience exists in consciousness. Experiences of pairs of opposites, pains and pleasures, everything, any experience is possible because of consciousness. Without consciousness, there can't be something called experience at all. So everything enjoys existence in consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the existence of everything. In fact, existence and consciousness are not two different things at all. Therefore, it is this existence. Existence has no beginning. A pure existence has no beginning. Pure existence has no end. Pure existence doesn't undergo any change. And the pure existence is always time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless, and this existence is implied with the term Brahma, and the pure existence is nothing but pure consciousness. Therefore, the reality obtains in the form of existence of the entire objective universe. In what form does reality obtain in the universe? Reality obtains in the form of existence of time, existence of space, existence of forms, names and functions, existence of experiences. Therefore, and that reality which obtains of existence of everything is implied by the term Brahma. And I, the knower, am consciousness. I, the consciousness, am existence, Brahma, imply the term Brahma. I, the consciousness, am, I, the knower, am consciousness. I, the consciousness, am existence, implied by the term Brahma. I'm telling it first. I, the knower, am consciousness. I, the self, am pure consciousness, pure awareness. Second sentence. I, the consciousness, am existence implied by the term Brahma. If you place I in consciousness, and you can see there is no existence other than consciousness. Nothing exists outside of consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the existence of everything. And I am consciousness, therefore I, the consciousness, am the existence of everything implied by the term Brahma. So, Brahmaivaham, Brahma eva aham. Brahma eva aham. Okay, asmi. Brahma eva aham asmi. Brahmaivaham asmi. Now, next sentence. Iti. Iti. Brahmaivaham asmi. Iti. Tas. Aparoksha jnanena. Now, next is aparoksha jnanena. See, by this immediate knowledge that I, the self, I, the consciousness, am existence implied by the term Brahma. So, aparoksha jnanam. I told you last class, I think I just started explaining this last class. See, we talk about, we say pratyaksha jnanam. There's a paroksha jnanam. What is pratyaksha jnanam? What is paroksha jnanam? Pratyaksha jnanam means perceptual knowledge. You have knowledge through perception, direct perception. So direct knowledge is perceptual knowledge. You see, you hear, you smell, you taste. So you have pratyaksha jnanam. The pratyaksha jnanam. And somebody else tells you, or through some other means you come to know, you have knowledge. Then you have paroksha jnanam. So paroksha jnanam, indirect knowledge, or pratyaksha jnanam, direct knowledge. This direct and indirect knowledge is always of an object. Object is, what object of knowledge is, what is, what do you know? Pratyaksha jnanam, if you have the pratyaksha jnanam, you have the knowledge of, direct knowledge of an object. Paroksha jnanam, you have the indirect knowledge of an object. But here, when you understand this abstract, formless reality, which alone is there even in deep sleep state, when you analyze the deep sleep state, and you when the gross universe doesn't exist, is resolved, because perception does not take place, the sense powers are resolved, mind is completely non-functional, in the sense, passive, and all that is, there is only total ignorance. Ignorance of the existence of the self and the world. And when there is ignorance of the existence of the self and the world, the total ignorance, there is also experience of absence of pairs of opposites, as which I said, bliss. And when that experience is there, and there you are, as the experiencer of total ignorance. And who is the no experiencer? You. Who are you, the experiencer? Distinct from the experience, an object of experience. That knower is, that experiencer is inexplicably subtlest, abstract, formless reality implied by the term Atma and Brahma. It is this reality which is free from all limitations. Time is spatial, object is limitless. As you understand. And now we say, when you understand, how do you arrive at the reality? You arrive at the reality not as an object. Not as an object. See, in Pratyaksha Jnanam and Paroksha Jnanam, whether indirect object, indirect knowledge or direct knowledge, their knowledge is only of the object. Whereas here, the reality you arrive at as the Swarupam of I, in which you resolve the I sense, in which you resolve the knower status, the abstract formless reality, obtaining as the knower of total ignorance, in which alone you resolve the I sense. In which you resolve the knower status, experiencer status, and that formless reality is not an object of knowledge. You do arrive at the reality using the Shastra's methodology. When you analyze, you do stumble upon the reality. You do arrive at the reality. But at the same time, then you do not see the reality as an object of knowledge, object of perception. You do not see the reality not as a subject also, but you arrive at the reality as the very Swarupam of the knower, very Swarupam of I. Therefore, this knowledge of reality arrived at as one's own real nature. And this knowledge is what? Aparoksha Jnanam. Is it clear? See, many people make mistake. This Aparoksha Jnanam, Pujya Swamiji was popular for his unfoldment because many people had big confusion. Aparoksha Jnanam, Aparoksha Jnanam. It is neither indirect knowledge nor direct knowledge. It is the knowledge of the immediate self. Immediate self means there's no distance between I, the knower, and the reality. Just as immediate, what is immediate to the illuminator is the light. What is immediate to the illuminator? What is immediate? The illuminator is the light. Similarly, what is immediate to the knower? I. Abstract formless reality, obtaining in the form of consciousness, pure knowledge. Therefore, it is knowledge of the immediate self, knowledge of the reality as the immediate self, nearest self. Okay, as the truth of I is called what? Aparoksha Jnanam. Now, Aparoksha Jnanena Brahmaivahamasmi iti Aparoksha Jnanena. So by this immediate knowledge of the self, that I, the consciousness, am pure existence implied by the term Brahma. Iti, thus, nikila karma bandha vinirmuktihi syat. This knowledge is clear. Repeatedly dwelling upon this fact, if we can ascertain this fact, there's no vagueness or confusion, this fact, in spite of being endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, in spite of being involved in day-to-day activities, we still can have this clear understanding. Then what happens? Nikila karma bandha vinirmuktihi. Once you see yourself as pure consciousness implied, which is a pure existence implied with term Brahma, which is the very truth of time, space and the everything else here, you see yourself as the truth of the whole. Then tell me, where is the Sanchita Karma for you? Where is the Paradha Karma for you? Where is the agamic karma. Where is the doership? You will see yourself as the very true, the formless, abstract reality, the consciousness, which is pure existence implied by the term Brahma. Does consciousness obtaining in the form of existence of everything have any doership? Without consciousness, there cannot be knower or experiencer or enjoyer. But consciousness is not the knower, not the doer, not the enjoyer. Ever consciousness has no doership. Consciousness has no enjoyership. Therefore, consciousness has no punyam. Consciousness has no papam. Consciousness has no sanchitam karma. Consciousness has no agami karma. Consciousness has no karma phalam. This is what jnana karma sannyas yoga. Hold. If you understand, that is why Tattva Bodha is very important even to enter into Bhagavad Gita. If the teaching is very clear here, then you can just go fast in Bhagavad Gita class. The whole fourth chapter is repeating. This is thing. Jnana karma sannyas yoga means what? Seeing the Atma being free from doership and enjoyership is jnanena karma sannyasaha. Renunciation of action through knowledge. And now you have to see this. He says, if the doership is not, you can see right now. Don't need to say afterwards. In the class right now you have to see. Consciousness has no doership. Consciousness has no enjoyership. Consciousness is not the doer, not the enjoyer. Even though without consciousness there cannot be doer or enjoyer. There cannot be experience or enjoyment. But consciousness is free from doership and enjoyership. Means consciousness has no sanchittam, agami, prarabdha, karmas. And if you can see this fact that I, the conscious, I, the knower, am consciousness, and I, the consciousness, am existence, implied the term Brahma, the truth of the whole. And naturally, there is vinirmuktihi. Muktihi means freedom. Nirmuktihi means freedom. Vinirmuktihi also absolute freedom. Is not newly attained. Vinirmuktihi, absolute freedom. From what? Karma bandha vinirmuktihi. There's absolute freedom from the hold of bondage of karma. Karma bandha vinirmuktihi. What karma bandha? Nikhila. Nikhila means akhila. Nikhila, akhila means entire. So there's absolute freedom from bondage of karma in its entirety. Nikhila means what? There's freedom from the bondage of karma in its entirety. There's no sanchitam karma. There's no agami karma. Even prarabdha karma, consciousness is free from prarabdha karma also. But as long as body mind is complex, one has to go through prarabdha karma, but still one can go through prarabdha karma objectively, unafflictedly. Prarabdha karma is experienced, but still you can be objective, you can be unafflicted, if this vision is very clear. Therefore, Nikhila karma bandha vinirmuktihi syat means there will be. The syat means definitely. The syat is a ling, you know, potential, must, but we have to take a will. There will be definitely absolute freedom. Muktihi freedom. Nirmuktihi freedom. Vinirmuktihi absolute freedom from the bondage of karma in its entirety. When? Because of the immediate knowledge of knowledge that I, the consciousness, am pure existence, implied by the term Brahma, the truth of the whole. This is Jivan Muktihi. Because Jivan Muktaha Kaha was the question, and for which the answer was given previously. Again, this emphasis elaborately explained here. Brahma Eva Aham Asmi Iti Aparoksha Jnanena Nikhila Karma Bandha Vinirmuktihi Syat. Is it clear? Any doubt? I'm going to go to the next line. If you have any doubt, you can ask me again afterwards. Okay? Let me go to the next line. Now, Karmani Kati Vidhani Santi Iti Chet. Karmani Kati Vidhani Santi Iti Chet. The Chet, I told you, is an indeclinable expression which means if the question comes, okay, the person who understands this fact that has this, the person who has this clear understanding of the fact that Aham Brahmasmi, or because of his immediate knowledge of the self being Brahma assertively, the person, there will be definitely absolute freedom from bondage of karma in its entirety. So here the question comes, karmani kati vidhani iti chet. If the question arises, karmani kati vidhani santi, how many types of karmas are there? Karmani means karmas, results of actions. Karmani here means what? Results of actions, the fruits of actions. Karmani also means actions. Be careful. Karma is a nakaranta shabda. Nakarantaha napumsakalingaha karman shabdaha. It's a neutral gender word ending in na. So karmani katividhani. Karmani, results of actions, fruits of actions. Katividhani. How, kati is an indeclinable word. Again, kati means how many, which you also learned in Sanskrit class. Vidhani, types. How many types? How many, types of results of actions are there? Kati vidhani karmani santi iti chet. If the question is asked, the question rises, the answer is coming. Karmani kati vidhani santi is the question. Karmani kati vidhani santi is the question. Iti tas chet. If asked. Okay, ask them adding. Karmani kati vidhani santi is a proper question. How many types of results of actions are there? Karmani kati vidhani santi iti tas chet. If asked, then answer comes next sentence. Agami, agami. Sanchita, sanchita, prarabdha, bhedena, agami, sanchita, prarabdha, bhedena, trividhani santi, agami, sanchita, prarabdha, bhedena, త్రివిధాని సంతి. ద త్రీ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ త్రివిధాని త్రీ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్స్ ఆర్ దేర్. త్రివిధాని కర్మాణి, ఐఎమ్ యాడింగ్ త్రివిధాని కర్మాణి సంతి. త్రివిధాని సంతి ఇస్ దేర్, ఐఎమ్ యాడింగ్ కర్మాణి. త్రివిధాని కర్మాణి సంతి. వాట్ ఆర్ దే? ఆగామి సంచిత ప్రారబ్ధ భేదేన. త్రీ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్స్ ఆర్ దేర్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆగామి సంచిత ప్రారబ్ధ డిఫరెన్స్. భేదేన విత్ డిఫరెన్స్ ఇన్ ఆగామి సంచిత ప్రారబ్ధ. ఓకే, నౌ యు నో వన్ రత్తుబోధ ఆల్వేస్ క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్ ఆస్క్డ్. Now, how many types of results of actions are there? Don't need to worry about it. There's no fourth type of result. There are only three types of results of actions. Now, next question comes. Agami karma kim? See the question of agami karma kim? See, when you're writing, you must be very careful. Karma is a neutral gender word. Therefore, ఆగామి ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ షార్ట్. ఆగామి ఆగామి కర్మ, ఆగామి కర్మ, టూ డిఫరెంట్ వర్డ్స్. దెన్ సంచితం కర్మ, సంచితం కర్మ, ఆగామి కర్మ. దెన్ ప్రారబ్ధం కర్మ, ప్రారబ్ధం కర్మ, సంచితం కర్మ, ఆగామి కర్మ, టూ డిఫరెంట్ వర్డ్స్. నౌ క్వశ్చన్ కమ్స్ ఆగామి కర్మ కిం? ఆగామి కర్మ కిం? మేక్ ఇట్ వన్ వన్ వర్డ్. ఆగామి కర్మ కిం? వాట్ ఇస్ ఆగామి కర్మ ఇస్ ఆస్క్డ్. లుక్ అట్ దిస్. రిమెంబర్ for ajnani agami karma is, for a jnani also I'll tell you what it is. Generally, when you understand the karma, see, we perform actions in every janma, and from time immemorial we have this sanchitam karma. In previous lives, the unexhausted results of the actions performed in previous lives, which have yet to be exhausted, they remain accumulated as sanchitam karma. Then a portion of sanchitam is which is being exhausted in the present life is prarabdham karma phalam. While exhausting the power of the karma phalam, we do karma again. While exhausting power of the karma in this life, to live this life, we perform actions. Again, we accumulate new results of actions, which is going to come in future later on. That's called agami karma phalam. This is what we understood until now. Now, we are talking about the jnani. See, we all have sanchitam karma phalam. All the human beings who are born in this world have sanchitam karma phalam. No, don't need to doubt at all. We all have sanchitam karma phalam. We all have our own balance. Like how every one of us have bank balance. Little money, more money, or that's what we all have. All of us have bank and nil account also we may. Nobody can say nil account. We can be nil account. Money, without money you can be. But without karma, nobody is there. All of us have sanchitam karma. And now we are present life is what? We are exhausting our prarabdha karma phalam. And now from the time you are born, the time you picked up your willpower, ego, ahankara, from second year onwards, until now, you have been knowingly, unknowingly, what all karma should have done. We also accumulated agami karma phalam. We do not know what it is. Going to come later on. Agami will join the sanchitam. Sanchitam will always remain as a big bundle of sanchitam. That is different. Now, here, the teacher talks about, Sattubodha teacher talks about the karma phalam of a wise person. Look at this. Agami karma kim. Now, jnana utpatyanantaram. Jnana utpatyanantaram. So what is agami karma? The teacher gives answer. Look at this. Jnanotpatyanantaram. Jnanotpatyanantaram. What's the meaning of the sentence? Jnanotpatyanantaram. Which means jnana utpatti anantaram. Jnana utpatti anantaram. After the rise of knowledge. Jnanam, knowledge. Utpatti means rising. After the rise of knowledge. What knowledge? I, the knower, am consciousness. Formless, abstract reality, pure consciousness. I, the consciousness, am. I, the pure consciousness, am pure existence. Implied by the term Brahma. Which is known of the whole. After the rise of this knowledge, anantaram means after. Anantaram means after. Jnanam, knowledge. Utpatihi, rise. Rising. After the rising of the knowledge, that aham brahmaivaham asmi. After the rising of the knowledge that I myself am Brahma. Jnana utpatti anantaram. Jnani deha kritam punya papa rupam. Even after the attainment of knowledge also, even as a wise person, as long as the person has body, mind, sense complex, he has to do what? He has to eat, he has to drink, he has to go to toilet, he has to do other things, and he has to do some karma actions. And if he, there's a, if you may have been working also, be earning also, isn't it? Even as a wise person, please listen to me carefully. Even as a wise person, even after attaining the knowledge, even after the clear rising of this knowledge that I myself am Brahma, aham Brahma asmi, the person is endowed with the body. And physically, even a wise person must be active. Wise person also does not remain, don't think after wisdom one can sit like a piece of stone. All the time keeping his eyes, hands like this, you know, closing his eyes and breathing air. No, that's not true. Even after jnanam, that is why many people used to come and ask Swamiji, Swamiji, if you have jnanam, then why do you move around like this? Why do you teach like this? People think jnanam means you must be sitting like a piece of stone or what? Many people have their own ideas of jnani. Therefore, even after the rise of the jnanam, jnani deha kritam, the wise person's physical activities, jnani deha kritam, jnani deha kritam. Okay, the wise person's physical activities produce vap punya papa rupam karma. The results of actions of a wise person's results of activities of wise person's physical activities. The results of wise person's physical activities. After the rising of jnanam, the results of the wise person's activities. Jnani deha kritam. And the results in the form of punya papa rupam karma. Jnani intentionally does not do anything wrong. Suppose if at all there any punya, Jnani won't have papa, but if at all any papa is there, okay? Punya papa karma in the form of the results of actions, physical activities of a wise person in the form of punyam and papam, the results of physical activities of a wise person, karma, yadasti, that which is, tad agami iti abhidhiyate. And that karma is said to be agami karma. For ajnani, agami karma will later on, isn't it? We also have now, when you are living this life, we are, whatever punyama we are earning in this life is what? Agami karma. Like that, even for a wise person, there is agami karma. Look at this. It means he is free. But still as a karma palam is there, isn't it? Ajnani also has agami karma palam. Jnani also has agami karma palam. What is agami karma palam? Jnana utpatti anantaram jnani deha kritam punya papa rupam karma yadasti. The karma, the results of action which is there. Karma yadasti. The result of action in terms of, in the form of punyam and papam. Okay. The result of the physical activities of a wise person after the rising of the knowledge, which there is agami karma phalam. Is it clear now? See, here the Tattvabodha author discusses the agami karma phalam of a wise person. Not about, not our general. What agami karma palam? The jnani also performs activities. Jnani's actions also do produce punya papam. And those punya papams, the results of jnani's actions after the rising of the knowledge which is there is called agami karma palam. Is it clear? Okay. So, jnana utpatti, jnanotpatti, gunasandhi. Utpatti anantaram, utpattyanantaram, all compound here. Utpattehe anantaram, it must have been utpatti anantaram, utpattyanantaram, yansandhi. Jnana utpatti anantaram jnanotpattyanantaram jnani deha kritam punya papa rupam karma yadasti tad agami iti abhidiyate. Agami iti agami ti iti abhidiyate agami ti abhidiyate. If you break it, I'm repeating again for sake of Sanskrit language now. Jnana utpatti jnanotpatti. Jnanotpatti plus anantaram. Jnanotpattyanantaram. Jnanotpattyanantaram. Jnani deha kritam. Punya papa rupam. Karma yad asti yadasti. Tad agami iti. Agami plus iti. Agamiti plus abhidiyate. Agami iti abhidiyate. Agami iti abhidiyate. Abhidiyate is said. is said to be agami karma. What is said to be agami karma? Agami iti abhidiyate. Jnana utpatti anantaram jnanideha kritam punya papa rupam karma yadasti tad agami iti abhidiyate. So the results of actions of a wise person after the raising of the knowledge which is there, which is said to be agami karma. Is it clear? See, it's all in singular. We don't say only one karma. I say result of action of a wise person after the raising of act. Okay, the result of action of a wise person after the raising of the knowledge is said to be agami karma. Is it clear? Okay. Iti abhidiyate is said to be. Next question. Sanchitam karma kim? Sanchitam karma kim? What is sanchitam karma? Ananta koti janmanam. Ananta koti janmanam. Ananta koti janmanam. Bija bhutam. Sad. Yat. Karma jatam. Yat karma jatam. Purvarjitam tishthati. Purvarjitam tishthati. Tat sanchitam jneyam. Tat sanchitam jneyam. Okay. Now, jneyam, to be known. Jneyam can be known. To be known. It should be known, it should be understood as sanchitam karma. The question is, what is sanchitam karma? It should be understood as sanchitam karma. It should be understood as sanchitam karma. It should be understood as sanchitam karma. Sanchitam iti jneyam. He says, yat tishtati. Karma jatam purvarjitam tishtati. Arjitam, see, tishtati remains. That which remains, see, sanchitam, it should be understood as sanchitam. What should be understood as sanchitam? That which remains. Yat tishtati. That which remains. Remains as what? Purva arjitam. Arjitam means earned. Arjayati means earns. In Tamil, in the law court, they say pitra arjitam. Even today, the lawyers in Tamil Nadu, they use Pitrarjitam, the law court is used, but they say Tamil, Samskritam, Oriya. They say anti-Samskrit people, but even today, the language is Samskritam only. And when I happened to travel in Sri Lanka, I saw so many boards on Samskrit words, Tamil Nadu. Samskrit, Tamil literature, but Samskrit the language. Anyway, what I'm saying, the arjita, arjayati earns, arjita earned. Earned. And purva arjit, arjitam, purva arjitam, earned before. Purva arjitam, purva arjitam, purva arjitam. Purvam arjitam, purva arjitam, purva arjitam, earned before. So, Sanchittam should be understood as that which remains as earned before. What earned before? The result of action earned. Karma jatam. Karma jatam means result of action. The result of action earned before. Earned before means what? Before even we are born this step. Before even birth. Before being born, before the birth, before assuming this particular physical body, the karma which has been, the result which has been earned before, the result of action earned before the birth of this body, physical body, present body, and bijabhut, which is there. Sat means being. Sat is being, which is there as the seed. Sanchitam is the cause. Bija means seed. Seed means cause. Bijabhutam, that which is in the form of a cause. The Sanchitam is the cause. Bijabhutam means cause. Sanchitam is earned before we assumed this physical body. Before even assuming this physical body, karma result of action which have been earned and which is the cause, bijabhutam, the cause of not one birth, my God, ananta koti janmanam, which is the cause of births. How many births? Innumerable, countless births. The number ananta means limitless. Koti means crore. Crore means what? 100 lakhs, 10 million. So the number is only upalakshanam. Upalakshanam means just to say innumerable, countless births. Ananta koti janma. Janmanam bijabhutam, the cause of innumerable countless births. So sanchita karma phalam is the cause of innumerable countless births. And sanchitam karma phalam is that which remains earned before assumption of this physical body in many other births, which is the cause of innumerable countless births. So any number of births you had before, you must have had definitely many, 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 many births. And all these births were before because of this Hanjitam Karma Phalam. You understand? Therefore he says, Ananta Koti Janmanam Bijabhutam, cause of innumerable countless births, and remains earned before. This is called Sanchitam Jnayam. Why he didn't include now? The present birth itself, he has to talk about Parabdha. Isn't it so? This what you're going through now, what you're exhausting at present is Parabdha. And now while exhausting the Parabdha karma, the newly earned karma phalam is Agami. But what was earned before assuming this physical present body is Sanchitam. Anyway, I'll explain to you again Sanchitam karma next class.
What does sad mean?
Sad means being. See, I want to tell you one thing. It's good if you ask, I want to tell you this. Sat means existence. That is, to say the noun existence also means sat. But sometimes, asti, no? Asti. Asti is. For asti, if you take that, like, gacchati, gacchan. Patati, patan. Likati, likhan. Like that for asti, sun. Arasti, sun, being. And the sun alone, what is the base word? Sat. Gachat takarantaha pullingaha gachat shabdaha, patat shabdaha. And nominated becomes gachan patan. Like that, for asti, sat. And the sun, it becomes sun. Sat means being. Bijabhutam sad means what? Being the cause of innumerable countless births. That which remains earned before this assumption of this body is anchittam karma. I'll explain again anchittam karma next class. Don't think only jnani has agami. Please wait. Don't think anything more. You have to go with the text steps by steps. Don't consume anything else. Don't. Just stop only here. And then we will go with the text. Everything will become very clear. Any doubt you have, wait with, let us go with the text. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.